as the earth evolves and as the sustainability movement evolves, so does our business. Like, we're constantly trying to partner and learn how can we continue to be a part of the solution.
Welcome to the DuPage Business Beat, a podcast about today's biggest business issues told from a Chicagoland perspective. Hello, Chicagoland. Welcome to the DuPage Business Beat. I'm Greg Bedlove, President and CEO of Choose DuPage. Today, we're talking about an issue that impacts everyone, energy. Specifically, the energy that we all get from natural gas and the legislation shaping its future. I'm joined in the studio by Mina Byers, Vice President of Business and Community Development at Nicor Gas. Mina, welcome to the podcast.
Great. Thank you so much for having me today, Greg. I'm excited to talk to you about energy and really excited to be here at College of DuPage, which is such an important part of our economic development community.
Couldn't agree with you more, and thank you so much. Before we talk policy, I want to make sure our audience understands the scope and scale of Nicor Gas. As an economic developer in DuPage, I kind of feel like I have a good handle on it, but our audience should know more. So, Mina, what is Nicor and how do you guys make a difference in the lives of the DuPage County and Chicagoland listeners?
Thank you so much, because, you know, Nicor's been here for generations, and I think for that reason, everyone sort of takes it for granted, right, and doesn't really think about the size and scale of our operation and the energy that we deliver that's so critical to the region. Nicor Gas, of course, serves the northern one-third of Illinois, but not the city of Chicago. We own and operate 34,000 miles of pipe and 8 underground storage facilities that serves 650-plus communities in our service area. And we really think of Nicor Gas as a strategic advantage for Illinois. We are unique in that we have interconnection with 8 interstate gas pipelines, and that creates a lot of market liquidity, which creates this great trading environment for energy commodity here in northern Illinois. So it enables a diverse supply of energy sources, natural gas coming from a lot of different energy sources. It creates competitive pricing. So, you know, we enjoy low rates here, half the cost of electricity in Illinois, and additional storage benefits. And I'll just talk for a second about that storage. I mentioned we own and operate those 8 underground storage facilities here in our region. If you took the total amount of energy that the Northern Illinois electric grid delivered in 2023, if you take the equivalent of 45% of that annual load, that's what we store in those underground storage facilities. And to compare, just to understand the volume of energy that it takes to fuel winter weather, earlier this year, early in the year, January 15th, when we had Winter Storm Jerry, we actually pulled 40% of that storage to deliver energy over 3 days, and no one lost heat. So I think that gives a good example of just the volume, the sheer volume of energy that we move and store quickly, and how that's such an advantage. And really, it's an advantage for businesses as a whole, because during those critical storm events, you don't shut down your business. You know, you keep operating. Our manufacturers and all the different businesses keep operating, and they continue to have heat, just as our customers continue to have heat at home. So a strategic advantage for Illinois.
So I learned something already. You mentioned, I think it was 8 interstate systems or 8?
It's interconnection to 8 interstate systems in Illinois.
I think most of the general populace just kind of feel like there's natural gas somewhere in the universe, under the earth, in the ocean or somewhere, and we tap into it, and then we deliver it within a given service region. But you're now leading me to believe that because we have this interconnectivity, that there's a little more redundancy and a little more liquidity.
Absolutely.
In the market.
You're exactly right. We have a whole gas supply and storage team that every day they're projecting what the energy needs are going to be. They're working with a lot of the other suppliers and large businesses in our region. They're looking at the weather and trying to figure out, okay, what's the demand going to be? And every day they're trading and buying on behalf of our customers to make sure that we have, the lowest cost and like most abundant resource available.
So at the end of the day, we're not beholden to just one gas storage. Well, and we always say in economic development, especially here in DuPage County, that one of the things that we sell, one of the things we trade on is low cost, reliable energy, whether it is electric or whether it's gas, the two primary sources of energy in Chicagoland and in DuPage County. And, you know, in your mind, how important is it to maintain that from an economic development perspective?
You know, I'll be honest that that's not really something that we talked about in the past, because energy, I feel like the demand for energy today is so much more. We're seeing such higher energy demand today because of the types of businesses that we're starting.
Absolutely.
To see. The data centers, AI. You know, they say an AI search uses 10 times more energy than a Google search.
Quantum computing.
So then you put that on steroids.
A Costco, the big boxes.
Yes, yes.
And replace the mom and pop stores.
The state's doing amazing work, as you're a part of, leading the Greater Chicagoland Economic Partnership. You know, across the state, we're seeing a lot more collaboration that's driving incredible growth in manufacturing in the state. So even some of those large manufacturing uses, I mean, they require very large amounts of thermal energy. So we're the ones who are able to provide that. So we are starting to educate our economic development partners a lot more about how to talk about energy as an advantage.
And how to tap into it and how to get it, right? Because
yeah.
There are buildings and there are locations that are not currently served by natural gas.
Right.
And if there's an opportunity for a big parcel of land that we're seeing more and more of these 100-acre requirements, 200-acre requirements to do big projects.
Yes.
And typically
campuses, right?
Campuses, it's a great word. And it's difficult getting energy to those locations. How does NICOR kind of position itself to make sure that it's not only meeting the current demands, but looking at these larger campuses and these larger opportunities that are coming?
Yeah. So I, you know, in the past, and we've actually had economic development partners tell us, well, the reason we don't call NICOR is because we just know you'll be there, right? And you've always been there. And it's so it's always like we don't take the time in the heat of trying to respond to an RFI or something like that. But, you know, what we're finding is because it's such large volumes, not only does it help us to know right during, you know, that market potential sort of stage to be able to show how we're going to serve it, if it takes a system improvement to be able to get the energy loads that they want, but we're finding more and more that site selectors are trying to prepackage the energy and market their sites as, hey, we know this many megawatts of energy are available at this site between gas, renewables, and the electric grid. So it's, I think we are still, you know, trying to get ahead of some of those opportunities where the site selector is already thinking about that as a marketing opportunity.
Sure.
For those sites. Where we're seeing some interesting opportunities, too, is in power generation. You know, with these large load projects that are coming in, we have a whole list of requests right now. A lot of that is data centers, but some of it is still manufacturing and other sources.
Which is great.
Where they just need to combine all of the above, right? The renewables, the electricity, and the natural gas to be able to run their business.
So from an economic development perspective, I love to tell the story of a business that was looking at DuPage County and had a building in mind. And unfortunately, the building did not have natural gas. And phone calls were made and seemingly in the blink of an eye, and I'm not sure how big of a user it was in the grand scale of NICOR, but the team of people that you had on the ground to respond to that and the response that we got, I imagine it's got to be a daunting task with permits and easements and municipalities and counties and whoever else may have a say in the delivery of the ultimate product. But how many folks are in your service area? What is your team on the ground that's designed to help people with those types of issues?
Yeah, first of all, I'll say I never get tired of you telling that story. I've probably heard it a dozen times now, and I love it more every time you tell it.
And we love the fact that the business chose to locate in DuPage County because we were able to deliver them the product in a very short period of time.
Yes. Well, you know, we have two to three main team members that really are the face of economic development for our team. But they will tell you when they come to a meeting, they represent, you know, 50 NICOR Gas employees because they coordinate across, you know, our system planning, our engineering teams, construction operations, our new business teams, all of the teams that work together behind the scenes to make sure that that's a seamless process. You know, we have internal processes in place so that they're constantly coordinating and talking about, you know, what's going on with this project, what's the latest on this one, who's ready for this next one. And I think that's so aligned with just NICOR Gas culture. You know, I've been with the company for 11 years, just about 11 years now. I will tell you, there's no place like it that just works as such a family. Everybody just rolls up their sleeves and works together and is ready to help each other out. And we definitely see that in economic development. Nicor Gas really understands the critical role that we play in attracting these businesses. Well, I will say this, not just attracting these businesses, but serving those existing businesses that are really fueling the state. We're seeing them expand and do renovations, and we're trying to be right there for them.
Yeah, and along those lines of communication, the other follow-up question I wanted to ask was, and I understand that there's security issues involved and other really critical components, but I've long been a proponent for the more the economic development community can know about where is the nearest main, where is the nearest gas line. And having that information, we feel, is a real benefit to us in helping us educate our prospects on what they can expect down the road.
Yeah, we're getting better and better at this, I think, because there has been a bit of internal education we've had to do, too, on why people want this information and why it helps to be able to share it externally. So together, working with our GIS teams, we are building some tools where we can actually visually show you, like, here's where your main pipeline, you know, your interstate that we're interconnecting to, and here are the larger size pipe that come through your community and where, you know, where some of the larger loads could be. We've been trying to be proactive about understanding where our partners' key sites are and potential sites so that we can proactively put those on the map and figure out, okay,
that's great.
Hypothetically speaking, if you were going to get a data center here that would need an average of this load, this is what we'd have, or this is what we'd have to do. So we're getting better at that. And something exciting that's actually coming is that we're going to be doing more and more as we make our capital investments and put plans forward with our regulatory body for where we want to make improvements. We're going to be involving communities, municipalities, economic developers in that planning process. So we're going to start to do like regional community meetings, if you will, to say, hey, like, these are the plans that we have to invest in the infrastructure. What are you seeing that we also need to incorporate into this plan? So well, I think that's going to make us better and better at it.
I know you've been a great partner at our quarterly communities meetings, and talking about incentives and talking about programs that Nicor has that, let's face it, businesses are busier now than ever before running their business.
Yes.
Well, where can businesses go to find out more about how they can avail themselves of those services?
Yes. So we're so proud of our energy efficiency program that really most of our businesses are eligible to participate in. And we definitely tout those to businesses that are looking to come to Illinois and DuPage County, because it once they become our customer, those programs are available to them. And you're right, it includes, you know, assessments where we can go in and assess the facility to see what improvements can be done, as well as incentives to help lower the cost of those capital investments that they need to make to lower the bills and improve comfort in the buildings. You know, we've got a few other offerings, too, when we talk about opportunities to help customers become more sustainable. You know, we are starting to explore renewable gas. We have our first interconnection going into place where we've partnered with a customer who's producing renewable gas, and they're interconnecting that to our system. So they're producing a molecule that matches fracked natural gas, but it's made from capturing waste from a landfill. So really exciting renewable projects in place.
You know, I've always said that one of the advantages that we have, I said it earlier in this podcast, reliable, low-cost energy readily available. We all tout in the economic development world how Chicago and Chicagoland area, Illinois, is uniquely positioned because of water. Right? As water becomes a more precious commodity, and we hear about the droughts in California and Arizona, and oh, why isn't everybody moving out there? It's starting to become clear that these natural resources matter. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about sustainability now. So again, you mentioned some of the stuff that you guys are doing, but talk a little bit about smart neighborhoods. Talk a little bit about efficiencies and how what Nicor is doing to make sure that we have a future and that we have a planet for our for generations to come.
So we know that over the next several decades, there is going to be a clean energy transition. And we know that natural gas is going to be a part of the energy fabric in the region for the foreseeable future. So with that in mind, we know it's our responsibility to be a part of that clean energy future. In fact, through modernization of our infrastructure over the past 10 years, we've already reduced emissions from our own operations by more than 50% just by tightening up, you know, our system. We enjoy, at Nicor Gas, our customers enjoy one of the most modern pipeline systems in the country because of those investments that have been made. Now, in addition to, we mentioned energy efficiency, and I always start with energy efficiency because it is the easiest, lowest cost way to save energy in a building and reduce emissions then from a building.
Sure.
And, you know, there are a lot of options available for customers, either high efficiency equipment or, you know, there is a lot of talk about, you know, going all electric as an option. In terms of low cost, it costs through energy efficiency programs in Illinois 6 times more to save 1 ton of carbon through electrification than it does to just go with a natural gas high efficiency option. So we often recommend, you know, as you're looking at all of your options available, a lot of those natural gas energy efficient technologies get up to 98% efficient, which is incredible. There are a lot of great options where customers can enjoy the sustainability and the cost savings of that technology while also having the resilience and the reliability through winters that the resource of natural gas mm-hmm. provides, right? You mentioned the Smart Neighborhood. We're pretty excited about this project in Aurora, Illinois, where we've teamed up with Habitat for Humanity and the National Renewable Energy Lab, and we are partnered to develop the nation's first affordable housing community designed to be net zero. What we did is we partnered with the National Renewable Energy Lab and asked them to help us figure out the optimal technology mix to reach net zero that's also the most affordable and the most reliable through our winters. So they simulated an actual community with all these different technology combinations through an actual year of weather in Illinois. And the technology package that they came up with at the end is the most optimal for all of those things. Net zero, affordability, and reliability is actually what we're putting in the homes with Habitat for Humanity. And that includes rooftop solar. It includes an energy backup system, either battery backup or a natural gas generator. It includes super high efficient building materials. We're using Build Block ICF, which is a Habitat favorite because you can build it like Legos almost.
I've seen that.
Yeah, it's very cool material. We're using heat recovery ventilation, which pulls outside air and then preheats it or pre-cools it, which builds efficiency in the home and improves indoor air quality. And we're using very high efficiency natural gas heat, which is incredibly affordable for the home.
So how has the acceptance of this type of program been with the end user, the person who's in that affordable housing unit or in that housing unit?
Yeah, so this project is pretty unique in that Habitat for Humanity is the partner and the homeowners are very involved in the development process. So they're not necessarily going to a finished home and then choosing, you know, what they purchase. Many of these homeowners, it is their dream to own a home.
Sure.
They never imagined that they would be able to afford a home, let alone help build it. So we are, as a part of this project, we're going to learn from those homeowners and find out. We're going to collect the data, the energy usage from their homes for a couple of years. So we're trying to think of, like, how do we help facilitate packaging mm-hmm. that and making that easier? But we also hear that Illinois has some of the best incentives hands down for all of these different technologies. So it is a great place to, you know, for builders to be able to build sustainability into affordable housing.
I always learn something new about Nicor when I talk to you, Meenik, and I had no idea that that was a program that was even underway. I feel confident that our esteemed County Board Chair, Deb Conroy, who has an affordable housing initiative underway right now in DuPage County, is a regular listener to our podcast. Hello, Chair Conroy. And I'm hoping that maybe maybe we can engage you guys in this conversation because, you know, the old saying, a man or woman's home is his or her castle. How cool would it be to have that castle be a net zero castle?
Yeah.
That's a super exciting project.
Yeah.
And I'm very super happy to learn about it. And it sounds like exciting times in the future. What about hydrogen?
Yes. Yeah, this is one of my favorite topics to talk about because it's the big buzz. But you're aware, listeners may not be aware that, you know, the federal government put forward, really invested $8 billion in establishing 7 different hydrogen hubs throughout the nation, really intended to drive down the cost of adoption of clean hydrogen and be able to sort of kickstart that economy across the nation. Mm-hmm. And so they refer to them as hydrogen hubs. Mm-hmm. And right here in Illinois, you know, we are a part of the Midwest Alliance for Clean Hydrogen, which is our Midwestern hydrogen hub. And it was one of those selected in the country to be funded.
In the process from
yes.
the get-go.
Yes.
Proud to support it because it's another energy source.
Yes. We had amazing support, I think, from 80-plus parties that were a part of it. Now, there's 9 projects in that hub, and Nicor Gas actually has one of the 9.
Okay.
So our project there is, you know, what are we really, really good at Nicor Gas? We're really good at moving molecules in pipe safely and reliably from point A to point B. And so we are looking at how we transfer those skills into moving hydrogen molecules in dedicated pipe. So we are moving our project is looking at moving clean produced hydrogen from the production site to an end-use industrial cluster of customers, our customers,
okay.
who then want to, they use large amounts of natural gas, and they would then blend this hydrogen with their natural gas for use in their processes. We're working with a couple of anchor customers who are in glass manufacturing. But I will tell you that even outside of that hub project, we are getting incredible interest from our industrial community on the opportunity or the potential to get hydrogen delivery via pipeline. So we're pretty excited about this opportunity to see how our efficient delivery of clean hydrogen can help kickstart this total, you know, economy in our region.
That's fantastic. Any work? I recall a meeting at Argonne where they were talking about hydrogen. And anytime you talk about $8 billion in federal money and you're picking hubs,
yeah.
an asset like Argonne National Laboratories that can assist in these efforts, whether it's testing, modeling, predictive behavior,
yes.
it certainly serves as an advantage. They're involved in
Absolutely. Argonne is also one of our large customers right here in DuPage mm-hmm. County, an incredible partner. Argonne National Lab and University of Illinois were instrumental in sort of positioning Illinois, this state, as a leader, a potential leader in hydrogen, and really did a lot of the legwork that prepared us for that hydrogen hub application,
sure.
particularly in mobility and the opportunity to decarbonize the transportation sector. So they'll continue to be an important partner and asset, I think, as we move this forward.
So as we transition from sustainability, you can't have a conversation these days, Mina, about Nicor without talking about what conversations that are happening in Springfield regarding sustainability and regarding electrification. And we're proud at Choose DuPage that we rely on reliable energy sources at the lowest cost possible to help us in our efforts. Where are we at with the legislation and some of the things and the conversations that have been having taken place down in Springfield?
Yeah, so there's a lot of discussion that's been happening, particularly in this past year. There's a couple things cooking right now. One is that our regulatory body, the Illinois Commerce Commission, initiated what we call a Future of Gas Workshops. And this is really the purpose of these workshops was really to bring any and all stakeholders together to talk about what the future of natural gas can look like in Illinois. And it really it took place over a series of, you know, 7 or 8 workshops that were all online. We were pleased to see that a lot of our stakeholders did actively participate in that. When I say stakeholders, I mean folks that use natural gas and depend on natural gas to be a part of that conversation. We also heard from, you know, advocates of environmental policy who talked about, you know, policies that they want to see go into place that, you know, painting a future that doesn't include natural gas. So it was important for us to be able to share just some of the facts about our system, kind of like we talked about today, because a lot of people don't realize it. And when we talk about decarbonizing Illinois, we have to understand, what is it that we're talking about decarbonizing? What is the energy, you know, in DuPage County that's serving 30,000 business customers and nearly 300,000 residential customers in this county alone? It's the natural gas system. So that was the first phase of those workshops that took place. If you know anyone who wanted to know the outcome of that first phase of workshops, there is a summary report that they're going to be posting on the ICC website. So that's a great way to see all the different workshops that took place and the dialogue that took place as a part of that, as well as written comments that a lot of folks, including economic developers, submitted as a part of that. The next phase, phase two, is really starting to workshop some of those issues. I think the one thing that those workshops really demonstrated was just the complexity of this industry and that it's not as easy as saying, well, we'll just go all electric and we'll get rid of the system. It just doesn't work that way. I mean, there are goals in the state, obviously clean energy goals, to move to renewable electricity sources. And we're very fortunate in the state to have, you know, clean energy nuclear production for electricity as well. Now, some of the things we talked about, like the demand, the continuing load growth because of some of these new technologies, you know, there really is a question of how do you keep up with the demand while bringing renewables on as quickly as they'd need to. What we always advocate for is customer choice, because customers need different things from their energy. They have different goals for their energy. And it's all those things you talked about. It's cost, it's reliability, it's also sustainability. And those priorities are going to fall in a different order for different customers. So those are all the complex issues that are a part of the conversation. There's a few other policy discussions taking place. There was a bill that was proposed that looks at opportunities for clean energy. You know, it really limits choice in as early as 2 years from now in terms of how, if you have equipment fail, what options you would have to replace that equipment. So it remains to be seen what will happen.
And is that true
in terms of legislation?
We talk a lot on our podcast about commercial and industrial transportation, distribution, logistics. Are we talking about residential now as well?
Oh yes, we're talking about everybody. Everybody who uses energy in Illinois, right? That these are policy proposals that would impact everyone. So that's something that we're keeping an eye on. The other thing that we're working with a lot of our communities on are the development of stretch codes. You know, when CEJA was adopted a couple of years ago, we know that legislation enabled the development of a statewide stretch code, which was an option for municipalities to adopt locally. We know the first proposal of that, we were engaged in that process as well, as were a lot of builders and developers and municipalities in the region. And that is moving forward for a vote as well. Even in that discussion, there was a lot of discussion about choice and optionality versus mandating different options for customers. So I think with all of these policy things taking place, one thing is true. We know we're here to serve our customers for the foreseeable future. We know we're a committed part of the state's clean energy goals, and that's why we're doing some of the things that we talked about and more that we're cooking back at the shop.
So in closing, what are we talking about in the future of energy? What is the future of energy? And I'm not asking you to get a crystal ball, but with everything that you're seeing happening right now in the gas and electrification and data centers and quantum and AI and everything else, where energy and water and natural resources play such a critical role, if we want to continue to see economic growth, what does the future of energy look like?
Yeah, if I could sum it up in a word, it's integration. You know, it's going to take all of the above to be able to serve all of these community needs and continue to grow the state that we need to for jobs and the economy. So I think when we think about the future of energy, it's an integration of all of these solutions. It's an integration of those new technologies combined with the old delivery systems that we know work.
Speaking of that, I meant to bring this up earlier. What about carbon capture?
Yeah.
And what about carbon neutralization? Because we want a planet.
Yes.
10 years from now, 10 generations from now.
Yeah.
We want clean air. We want clean water.
Yeah.
Is NICOR playing a role in things like carbon capture and carbon neutralization?
We are definitely supporters. So, you know, and of course, Illinois is a leader in this. We just took a field trip a couple of weeks ago to visit our friends down at in Central Illinois at ADM, who are doing some leading research on carbon capture and sequestration at their campus. And Illinois is also, you know, working on legislation that really enables carbon capture. Our colleagues over in the Manufacturers Association often talk about carbon capture as, you know, we want decarbonization without deindustrialization. And
we all do. Nobody wants to give up the golden goose, right?
Of course. And I think carbon capture is a proven technology, particularly when it's right at the pipe, right at the source, to be able to do it. I mentioned renewable gas. You know, carbon capture also offers this opportunity for renewable gas production that we're, you know, working in and really helping accelerate in the state. I mentioned before that we're really good at moving molecules and pipes. So in terms of our involvement in it, we're just starting to understand how our competencies and capabilities might be able to support that economy.
Sure.
We are part of a really great geographic region here where there's opportunity for geologic storage as well. So, and of course, that's how we store natural gas. We have expertise in that. Mm-hmm. So these are all parts of, you know, the tools in the toolkit that we're learning more about and really evolving as the earth evolves and as the sustainability movement evolves. So does our business. Like, we're constantly trying to partner and learn how can we continue to be a part of the solution?
I mean, I felt like you kind of took us behind the curtain of natural gas today. And everybody thinks of it as, well, I just turn my thermostat up, the heat goes on, and somehow something happens and I get warm. But there's obviously a lot of complexity to it. And it's so encouraging to hear that you guys, as a company that provides natural gas, share the same goals and the same vision that the sustainability movement, as you pointed out, is a champion of. And that is making sure that tomorrow we maintain our competitive advantage. I'm in economic development for a living. I don't want to put DuPage County behind the eight ball when it comes to competing for that next big piece of business. But I also have grandchildren who I want to have enjoy a clean environment. It's really refreshing to hear that NICOR is really working towards both of those goals at the same time.
Great. Thank you so much. Because, you know, customers are the center of everything we do. Our business is here to serve them. So we will always be committed to, you know, helping support our customers and communities and the way that we need to move forward.
Well, that's it for today's show. Mina, thank you so much for joining me. It was really a pleasure.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I had a blast.
For those of you listening, you can learn more about natural gas service in Illinois at www.nicorgas.com/itsafact. I'll say that again, www.nicorgas.com/itsafact. I would also encourage our development community to reach out to NICOR during the planning stages of your project. They really are a great resource for economic development in our community. And as always, thank you to Sal and our good friends at the College of DuPage for supporting today's episode. To keep up with what's happening in DuPage County and the Chicagoland region, follow Choose DuPage on social media or visit choosedupage.com. I'm Greg Bedlove. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on the DuPage Business Beat.